Enjoy this great podcast on a regular basis.
There is no non-arbitrary way of distinguishing from the point of view of the subject of an experience between the phenomenology of perception and illusion. The distance between a thing and itself. Space measures the distance between a thing and another thing. Right now, I'm putting space and time between me and the microphone. Trying to gain some perspective on this. You know what I mean?
Perspective changes. It's like putting on a pair of eyeglasses, and you see things differently.
Ooh.
You know, I can look at the newspaper and not quite be able to make out the small print and misunderstand sentences because I'm not reading them correctly. And then I can put on a pair of glasses, and that changes my perspective, and I can see things more clearly.
Oh.
And it makes it easier for me to understand what the author's intent was.
Maybe.
Now, what was written on the page has not changed. The only thing that changed is my perspective.
About damn time.
And in my case, anyway, my view tends to be more harshly critical.
Well, then, maybe not.
Then when I'm out in the woods, I don't look at the trees and say, hey, some of them are bigger than others. Or
they don't match.
Those leaves aren't evenly distributed.
They're not.
And I don't look at the clouds and say, I wish they were more symmetrical.
I do.
I just accept them as they are. But then as I start approaching my home, I start noticing things such as,
like what?
Oh, that window is ajar, or there's grass growing up over on the sidewalk there, and I need to trim it.
Yes.
My house, I go inside and I say, oh, look it, there's all that laundry that I didn't put away. It's not in its right place.
Looks bad.
And the tiles on the floor aren't quite square.
I noticed that.
And there's dirt over in this corner.
Yes.
But when I'm outside, the way it is what it is, and it's why I go outside.
It's nice out there, isn't it?
Just seems like there's a difference between, you know, your things as opposed to nature's things.
Yeah, your things have nothing to do with nature.
Thank you. One of the most important discoveries I made regarding correlation and causation came from a story in Drunkard's Walk, a wonderful book by Leonard Mlodinow, explaining randomness. He was talking about movie executives and how a movie executive will have a series of very popular movies. Then they'll hit a dry spot.
A slump.
Where the films aren't clicking like they had in the past.
Yeah, a slump.
A lot of times at this point, the company will decide that they need to change their executive.
Out you go, pal.
And if after the transition, they have a series of successful movies, they say, good, see what this new blood has brought in, and what a great executive and a good decision we made. However, the reality is, in the movie-making industry, most movies are in production for many years, at least two or three before they get released. But those successes that the new executive supposedly brought were actually projects that got underway during the previous outgoing executive's tenure. And it's quite possible that the success and failures of those various movies were relatively random. And they probably would have, some of them would have been successes and others would have been failures, regardless of who the main executive was. That really made clear to me how easily we can make inferences about reality that are totally incorrect. We just correlate it even though there is no meaningful connection between the two. Talk about changing your perspective. How's that?
Not bad.
You know, it's so dark in here, I can't see anything. Would you please turn on a light?
Sure. There you go.
Oh, man! That light's so bright, I can't see anything.
Maybe that's just the way it's supposed to be.
FDA panel now endorses weight loss drug. That's the headline. Is that good news or bad news?
Kind of depends on your perspective, your perception.
February 23rd, 2012. According to the Associated Press, the FDA has now approved a weight loss drug. Panel of outside physicians voted 20-2 in favor of a weight loss drug from Vivus. Nearly all the panelists backed the drug due to its impressive weight loss results. Most patients losing nearly 10% of their overall weight after a year. It seems so wonderful considering that we're confronted with an obesity epidemic in America. I said, hey, that's great. They got a drug to address a mounting problem. But then, I don't know where it came from, but then I got another thought. What has changed? It's the food that we're given.
It's more than just the lack of physical activity.
It's the food that we're given.
And according to a lot of my research, hydrogenated fructose, depending on who you're talking to, which is derived from corn, which is a subsidized crop. And then I started thinking, this looks like a conspiracy.
Just another coincidence.
They fill our food with obesity-causing products, and then introduce a drug that will address the weight gain due to our poor diet, because we're not eating like we used to.
Who are they?
We're not eating locally. Oh, don't get me started about the bread and the human hair and the duck feathers. I don't even want to get started on that. Anyway, so you got a health problem, at least partially created by government policy. And then we have a drug, which is a new drug, which means it'll be very expensive, being introduced to address the obesity epidemic. When actually, if we stop the subsidies to the corn industry, would very likely address the obesity problem. And we wouldn't need a new drug, which most people aren't going to be able to afford because it's new and very expensive. So they're going to need the government to step in and address that. So now we got the government giving money to the corn industry, and then we're going to have the government giving money to the drug industry, and the people, citizens, consumers, customers, clients, I don't know what you call the average American these days.
The fool, the customers.
That's what they are. That, thinking about the newspaper that I read the article in, and I thought about newspapers and antidepressants. If you read the paper enough, you're going to feel the need for antidepressants. Whether you take them or not, you know, is going to end up being a personal thing. I just love that new car smell.
It represents to me
the smell of success.
Well, not to me. Smells like this stupidity.
Probably your profession.
You want to know what's included in your sweet smell of success? Bromine, associated with brominated flame retardants, or BFRs, chlorine, including polyvinyl chloride, or PVC, and plasticizers, lead, heavy metals. These chemicals have been linked to a range of health problems, including allergies, birth defects, impaired learning, liver toxicity, and cancer. You call that success? Here, let me list them again. Allergies, birth defects, impaired learning, liver toxicity, and cancer. And that's the smell you love? The new car smell?
Although I will admit to really liking the smell of leaded gasoline. And unleaded, it's just not as pleasing to the nose.
We can be deceived by our olfactory perceptions.
And all our other perceptions are just as vulnerable. Don't be so sure about what you think you're perceiving.
Thank you.
stop.
Fredericks forgot to thank our sponsor. Thanks, Noso.
Welcome to Noso. Noso is a real-world platform for temporary disengagement from your social networking environment. The Noso experience allows you to create no connections by scheduling no events with no friends. You may be asking yourself, why do I need Noso? As someone who's online 24/7, you have a lot to keep up with. When you're not blogging, you're vlogging. When you're not vlogging, you're podcasting. When you're not podcasting, you're Skyping, texting, IMing, dating, trading, sharing, subscribing, downloading, updating, linking, approving, adding, checking, sending. I think you get the picture. Sometimes you need a break. Sometimes you need no-so.